This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. In the wee hours this morning, the Supreme Court allowed a federal death penalty sentence to be carried out. Daniel Lewis Lee was the first federal execution permitted in 17 years. He was put to death this morning at around 8 a.m., claiming until the very end that he was innocent of the murders for which he was convicted. We wanted to talk a bit more about Michigan's history with the death penalty and whether that may change. Richard Broughton is an assistant professor of law at University of Detroit Mercy, and he joins us now. Richard Broughton, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you very much.
Were you very much surprised by the high court's decision when you woke up this morning?
Not surprised at all.
The court's action was to reject a last-minute legal challenge for Daniel Lewis Lee's execution. What is the context in which the justices were viewing what defense attorneys were asking them to consider?
Right. I mean, there were a couple of issues before the court. I think the main issue that the court was dealing with was an issue about the single drug protocol that's being used by the federal government now, the use of this drug, pentobarbital. That drug has actually been raised in a previous case. Actually, last year, the Supreme Court decided a case called Bucklew. It was a Missouri case, not a federal case. But it was also a case in which an inmate was being subjected to a lethal injection using pentobarbital and had gotten that claim all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court rejected Bucklew's claim. And on similar grounds or for similar reasons, they rejected it here as well. I think that was the primary issue in front of the court. Of course, Lee had raised other claims during the litigation of his case. But I think in terms of the case before the court overnight, that was the primary issue.
In his final statements before he was put to death, Daniel Lewis Lee claimed again that he was innocent and that he was guilty of many things, but not these particular crimes. Whether or not he was speaking the truth, there are studies who've shown that there are plenty of innocent people who have been put to death under death penalty laws. I wanted to get a little bit of context from you about how we talk about whether the death penalty should exist when innocent people have been executed wrongfully.
Sure. Look, the innocence issue is a serious issue, and at least for supporters of capital punishment, it's an issue that they ought to continue to take seriously. I mean, I think one of the arguments that you will hear from those who support capital punishment is that despite these claims of actual innocence, we haven't really had an established case, at least not under the modern death penalty, the contemporary death penalty, of an actually innocent person being executed. Certainly, there are examples of innocent people being sentenced to death, but not actual executions. And so one of the arguments that I think you're going to hear is that, prosecutors are not going to go out looking for innocent people to sentence to death or to, execute. But that we should let the process work, that we should let the process play out. So I think that's the kind of thing that you're going to hear from supporters of capital punishment. Obviously, abolitionists, those who oppose capital punishment, they raise the innocence argument as one of often many reasons why we should abolish capital punishment. In other words, that the risk is simply too great. If there is a risk that an innocent person could actually be executed, that in their mind would be enough to abolish capital punishment.
One of the cases working its way through the federal courts right now is that of Marvin Gabrion. He was convicted in Michigan, but let's speak a little more broadly first. What is Michigan's history with this punishment?
Right. So Michigan does not have a death penalty as a matter of state law. Michigan abolished the death penalty back in the 1840s. And then by constitutional provision in the 1960s, abolished capital punishment. Now, it's my understanding that even after the abolition in the mid-1840s, Michigan continued to recognize a death penalty possibility for treason against the state. They never had such a case or never had occasion to use it for those purposes. But now the death penalty is completely abolished in Michigan. So if you're a defendant in a state trial in Michigan, even for the most heinous of murders, you would not be eligible for a death penalty under state law. The Gabrion case, of course, is a little bit different because he was convicted in federal court and, like Daniel Lewis Lee, was subject to the federal death penalty rather than a state death penalty.
Do you think that there's a reason why the death penalty was such a focus of attention in Michigan at the time when these decisions were made?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe anything in particular about the particular debate. My sense is we've long had a debate about capital punishment in this country, and that was true even after the founding of the country. But we've also, for a long time, recognized capital punishment. Michigan was unique in the sense that it was the first to abolish capital punishment. And stood alone for a long time. But my sense is that that those involved in this debate at the time in Michigan were, among sort of the more progressive on this issue. And now Michigan doesn't seem like an outlier at all because many states have abolished the death penalty.
Could you foresee a resurgence in the death penalty, or do you think it's inevitable that American society is moving to abolish it entirely?
I don't think there's anything inevitable about abolition. I do think that there has been a steady, though relatively slow, move toward having a less ubiquitous death penalty. I think the death penalty has become narrower. We're going to see fewer executions going forward, I think. But my sense is that at least for the foreseeable future, at least many jurisdictions in the country and likely the federal government will continue to have a death penalty. You take your more active death penalty states like Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, Ohio. Those states, I think, are unlikely to get rid of their death penalty, at least in terms of abolishing it. But I do think that we will continue to see the narrowing of the use of the death penalty. And that'll be true both at the state level and at the federal level. But my sense is, again, at least for the foreseeable future, even if we see a narrowing of the use of the death penalty, we're unlikely to see its complete and total abolition in this country.
Richard, I have one more question for you, and it concerns that the case of Marvin Gabrion. He was convicted in 2002 of a truly terrible crime, the murder of Rachel Timmerman, a woman who was scheduled to testify against him. Her infant daughter also disappeared that night, although Gabrion has never confessed to having anything to do with that. This became a federal case because it was believed to have occurred in the Manistee National Forest, which is why there is a defendant from Michigan who is facing the death penalty right now. He's seeking to have his conviction and sentence vacated. Do you think, we have just about less than a minute left, do you think this case poses any special challenges, either because of the boundary issues or because of the intense emotionality that people associate with it?
Well, I think one of the things about the Gabrion case that was the most controversial was the idea that the federal government was seeking the death penalty in a case that was located in a state that didn't have the death penalty as a matter of state law. That's been an issue for a while in sort of death penalty politics and death penalty law. Should the federal government be seeking the death penalty, even though the federal government has a valid death penalty system, should it be seeking death penalties in states that, as a matter of their own state law, the people of that state have abolished? So I think that was really the aspect of the Gabrion case that was the most controversial when this case was first coming through the system. Since then, the federal government has actually sought the death penalty in a number of cases located in states, albeit within federal jurisdiction, but located in states that, as a matter of state law, did not have the death penalty. So that's remained a controversial issue, but the federal government has done this in states beyond Michigan.
Richard Broughton is an assistant professor of law at University of Detroit Mercy. Richard, thank you so much for talking with us about these issues.
Thank you very much.